The belief in a material body has been the cause of every disease and death that this world has known. And the only disease and death that has ever occurred on this earth has been in the material body that God did not create. In the mortal sense of self. Wasn't Shakespeare right? What fools we are to think that mortal self is us, when the Christ teaching is to get out of that mortal belief, to be reborn, to drop all that you thought you were, and to know that before the foundations of the world, before every material appearance in this world, the divine image and likeness of the Father, I am. And always will be. And my salvation, my life eternal, rests not in finding a better religion or more truth, but rests in knowing that the Spirit of God is my life, my mind, my body, my identity, my activity, my law, my allness. For God is all, and I and the Father are one self. This is happening now. This is the inner impulse of harvest time. If we have reaped to the Spirit, it is because we have sown to the Spirit. And if we are not included in the harvest, it is because we have sown to the flesh. We have much time ahead to make our adjustments in consciousness. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, gathered the vine of the earth, cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city. Blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horses' bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. Now this wine press was trodden outside the city. If you look around you at this very confused world today, you are seeing what's happening in the wine press trodden outside the city. Just as your individual separation from God through your false sense of self leads to inner problems that become outer problems, so does the separation of the world from God lead to the problems of the earth all around us. We have our personal problems, and the world has its collective problems the same way. When you have something wrong with you, it is part of your individual initiation to remind you that you are momentarily separated from the knowledge of identity. Subconsciously believing God is not where you are. Believing that God may be there, but you are there too, and you are not. Magnify this by 3 billion. And you have cataclysms, disasters, wars. You have the inner fears and ignorance of each individual externalized as the mass problem. And so outside the city, outside the true consciousness, we see all kinds of destruction. I've wondered if we should continue with the revelation at this particular minute. I feel the need to consolidate what we've been doing as well. But let's see where it leads us. I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, 7 angels, having the seven last plagues. For in them is filled up the wrath of God. Now we have seven angels and seven plagues, and these are the seven last plagues. Why would an angel be delivering a plague? This is exactly what the world has thought, that God punishes. But if all is God, who is God punishing? So we find that the plagues represent that degree of willfulness in us, that degree of ignorance of God still in us, which prevents us from realizing true selfhood. The plagues are going to destroy that remaining barrier in each of us who are still in the self-will. To us, they will be plagues, but they're not, are they? They are removing the barrier of self-will which permits us to enter into the kingdom of God. And so they appear to be plagues only to those who are separated from God. They're not going to hurt the reality of an individual. The plagues do not touch the Christ. Instead, they bring you into the understanding of Christ's identity by releasing you from the Antichrist. They are only a plague to the Antichrist. And if you're dwelling in Antichrist, to you they are a plague. Make no mistake about it. It says the angels have the seven plagues. And that also means that the seven angels are going to reveal the all power, the inevitable, invincible all power of the Spirit. That every knee, every false concept must bend and be dissolved. We will be perfect in our understanding, in our life, in our experience as the Spirit, our Father, which art in heaven. The seven angels then will be the seven gifts of God to man, the seven commandments or ordinances with which each is endowed spiritually, which each hath already received, but is not finding in his experience because we have not surrendered these seven gifts to the Creator to let them be used by the Spirit. As we are learning now, to let the Spirit use its divine gifts in us, they will be cultivated, sown, and reaped with infinite understanding instead of limited by our human senses. Suppose you look at a little ant standing in front of a whale. Now, whatever the ant sees is not going to be the wholeness of the whale. And whatever he sees, therefore, he will have no idea what it is. He will not see what surrounds it. He'll just see the little speck that he sees. He can never understand the whale. The finite senses of man can never understand the infinite. It's like an ant looking at the whale. And whatever comes to the attention of the ant is going to be a lie, because the simple fact that there's a whale in front of him cannot be reported to him. Whatever our senses look out on do the same to us. No matter what they bring back a lie. They cannot see the fullness And if you can only see in part, you cannot appreciate what is making that part do what it does, because you cannot see the motivating forces around it. And we, looking at the whale, the infinite, through the ant eyes, the senses, we have come into an accumulation of untruth. And still clinging to that untruth, still influenced by the beliefs, even though we cannot see the fullness, still clinging to the fragments, the concepts, the sensations. We are wedded to matter. And we seek to acquire that matter. And we think that our life consists in safety in matter. And that is a false concept. There is no safety in matter. We cannot be protected in matter. There is nothing that you can attain materially that is telling you the truth of existence. And when you build your whole life around matter, which is not reality, then your whole life experiences all of the dream sequences of unreality. And your sufferings are not of the Father, but of your own limited understanding of reality. Now come the plagues. You've had your allotted time, and you still are believing in matter. And so the seven plagues must come because His word will not return void. Spirit must express itself where you stand. It will not stand idly by while you dwell in false concept. And so it is either being purged and cast into the fire, or yielding to the truth. And now the plagues, the seven last plagues. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. And them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over the image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. That's where we want to stand, isn't it? On that sea of glass, having gotten our victory over the beast and the number of man, moving past the incompleteness of material selfhood, the 666, which is man who can never become himself. We receive the mark not of the beast, but of the Father. The mark of the 144,000 in Mount Zion. The mark of those who are wedded to Christ. The mark of revelation. The mark of direct communication with the Spirit. And where do the plagues fall when you stand in direct communication with the Spirit? They cannot come nigh thy dwelling, for you are standing on the sea of glass, unblemished, unobstructed, the pure master consciousness, free of material concept. In the still waters, in the green pastures. You are no longer fettered by the duality of belief in spirit and something else. So you're playing a harp. You're hearing celestial music. You're in the rhythm of the spheres. You're doing divine works on earth because, having removed all belief in a material universe, in a material selfhood, the activity of Spirit in you becomes as a sea of glass, a pure, unblemished consciousness, a oneness consciously realized. Crystal clear. Unmarred by concept. One mind. Not an infinite mind and a finite mind. One infinite mind functioning where you stand as the only mind you know. Expressing itself as the Holy Ghost. Appearing as the harmony of existence. For only the plagues can touch those who are not in the one consciousness. The plagues can only destroy ignorance about God. The plagues cannot destroy reality. But if you are not in the reality of being, then to you they are plagues. If you are in the reality of being, you are too pure to behold the plagues, for in the light there can be no darkness. Where you stand will determine your experience. Now they sing the song of Moses, servant of God, song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of Saints." There's always something pushing at us, you see, to make us come to that place in consciousness where we give our heart completely to the Spirit. We don't try to hold back a little something for ourselves. It is a total surrender to the Spirit. You feel it too, because when it happens to you, you realize that you never before had really surrendered to the Spirit. You had brought a few sacrifices and a few promises and a few pledges and even a great dedicated effort, but there was always a you there doing all this. This is calling now for a different kind of a sacrifice. A total sacrifice of your very human selfhood. The sacrifice of you to the Spirit is the crucifixion of all belief that there is a you. Have you made that sacrifice? Well, if there's no material you, what are we hanging on to? Just the belief that there is a material me. And so we have to undergo the seven plagues. That belief that there is a material me cannot stand. It is that belief that still considers ourselves to be born of woman. And as long as that belief is in you, you are inviting karma. For karma is the automatic law of cause and effect which you set into being when you separate yourself from spiritual identity. The moment you come into material form, karma begins. Even before. For there is no spiritual identity end. And the belief that there is material identity too invites the karma. The infinite activity of spirit will tolerate no opposite. The moment you are hypnotized into a separate identity from spirit of any kind, you walk in karma, sowing to the flesh. And here we are being forewarned that this cannot continue. You will be a victim of the seven plagues. Every ounce, every remnant of human belief must be dissolved, because you cannot be released to the kingdom of God while you still have a human blemish. Only the flawless can survive in the kingdom. And so we are being purged of all human belief. We are being led into the first resurrection. We are being led into the second birth, which knows no death, which is the end of the first birth, the end of the material self. And the disasters, diseases, the pestilences of the world are but the evidence of our still clinging to the belief that the world is there. Now we're coming to a freedom through this, even if it's a freedom that we haven't brought upon ourselves. It's the freedom which Spirit demands. For we are the divine image and likeness, and must be released from all belief contrary to reality. Now you'll notice here that those who have attained oneness with the will of the Father automatically are fulfilling the Ten Commandments in their spiritual essence, and are fulfilling the two commandments which Jesus introduced. And are being united into oneness with the will of the Father in themselves, so they can be taught of God. Taught by the Spirit. Guided, directed, fed. To live as spiritual being in spiritual government. If you have not tasted divine food, you have no knowledge of its power. If you have tasted it, you know that there is no other power than divine food. That flesh of the Spirit, that blood of the Spirit, the divine food and the divine drink. This is the diet, the Last Supper, the way to self-identity, the way to weaving the garment from above. Only the spiritual flesh and the spiritual blood, only the wisdom of Christ in you can weave the garment from above. For each of us, first resurrection started some time ago. It is being woven from above. And the more of your material beliefs that you discard, the more of the divine food is being fed into your new consciousness, being released into activity. When you have no concepts, but are completely free to walk upon the water of Spirit without fear, knowing there is no person where you stand, no person where you see mother, father, brother, sister, then you have left mother, father, brother, sister for my sake. And only then will you begin to perceive that which is there, my Spirit. You cannot perceive the invisible while you insist on acknowledging the visible. Only when you acknowledge the validity and identity of the invisible as the allness knowing God being all, God being invisible, all is invisible. Then you can walk through the forms of this earth, knowing they are not there. Then you can accept them as the shadows of the cosmic mind. Then you can feel the freedom of form. Then you can be released and be fed by the infinite, by the divine. Then you will feel your eternal life blossoming forth. You will know the meaning of I and the Father are one, not as a quotation, but as a realization, as an experience, as a conviction, as a permanent truth of identity. It could never be other than one, for the Father is the only. And then your seamless garment woven from above becomes your living spiritual form, fed and sustained by the infinite, never to be tarnished, never to in any way be less than the living child of God. That's why there are plagues. To call our attention to our separation. Until we are separated no longer and too pure to behold iniquity. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? Get that word fear. And don't interpret it as human beings think of fear. We're not fearing God. There's no you to fear God. We're knowing the truth that I and the Father are one. Our fear is the acceptance of oneness. For it is a knowledge that I cannot be less than one. And being less than one, that is what I fear. This is the acceptance and total acknowledgement of God, which is here called fearing God. The total acknowledgement. God in your neighbor. God in every animal. God everywhere the material form seems to be. Swallowing your pride where necessary. To see God where the world sees sinners. Where do you see God if you can't see with human eyes? Seeing is accepting in consciousness. Seeing is being. Releasing all else, all sense evidence, in the acceptance of the one Spirit that is God, that is all. This is seeing, and the real seeing will come when you have accepted, and then you will see face to face. Then you will see with a different eye. You will see from the infinite within yourself, instead of looking out from the finite into the external world. You will see yourself. Does it sound strange to you then that there are no people? That there are no persons? It will continue to sound strange until Something in you is lifted beyond your present level of consciousness. For the belief in persons is hypnotism. Universal hypnotism. Persons die. The acceptance of the allness of God is the release from the belief in persons. And when we learn to love God supremely, to love truth above all, we will never hold a person in bondage by labeling him a person. Nor will we accept in our consciousness a person. And as long as we maintain the unwillingness to walk that last mile, we will find we are still under the law of sowing and reaping to the flesh. Henceforth you must know no person, no man after the flesh. All that is there is I, the impersonal Christ, the invisible self, falsely interpreted by the world of senses. And in due time you will discover the strangeness of this understanding is gone. As you step out of the hypnosis of the world, the mist around you will lose its power, and the power of your own perfect being will flower forth. Again, the plagues are not going to touch those who dwell in spiritual consciousness. They are only going to destroy destruction. Only destruction can be destroyed by the plagues. Only ignorance can be destroyed by the plagues. They cannot touch reality. If they hurt, you are not in reality. I think we'll carry on with the plagues next time, because we're going to have these plagues identified for us as the seven vials containing the seven plagues. They're going to be administered by the seven angels. The seven commandments of God become the seven angels administering the seven plagues. These commandments in us, forcing us to be what we are. I want to remind you of several things. From what you have heard today, when you read chapter 11, the New Horizon in the Infinite Way, it may have another meaning for you. I suggest that after you have read it, to come back to it 7 days, once a day to read it. And if you don't feel silly doing it, I suggest you read it aloud to yourself, where you're alone or with a friend. Just to hear yourself use these words will help you. And then when you read No God And, the fourth chapter in Realization of Oneness, try reading some parts of it aloud in a room by yourself. It will give your ears a chance to hear truth. It will give you a memory of truth when you're out in the world. You may even hear the words of your own lips reminding you when you're out in the world of things that you need to be reminded of 100 times and more. Now, when you find that No God And is a truth that can never change, then every time you have accepted something that is not God as a reality, you are in a separation from God, and you are bringing upon yourself the retribution of one who is living a dual life. When you consult the spirit within with the knowledge that because there is only God, spirit, and nothing else, and therefore how do I live in that spirit, you will find the everlasting arms helping you to live in that strange and beautiful awareness that only spirit is. The spirit will live itself in your consciousness as you let it. For you as a human being could never live in God and with no opposite. That would be the very denial of the very truth that there is only God. You must move yourself out of the way and let spirit be yourself. For you are not a person either. And you never were. Dwell with that until it is not strange, but glorious. And you will not be touched by the seven plagues. There will be no need to touch you. For we cannot purify spirit, which is your name. We have about 6 or 7 weeks now, and then we will reach the conclusion of this. There is an indication that by this time, then, we will all have attained another level of self. And we will also know that there are others among us who have attained that level. We are not alone. And you will no doubt be joined by those in the spirit throughout the universe. For as you leave the shadow of the valley of death and enter into the reality of being, you find many who have gone before you, all too eager to commune with you, to share with you, to live with you, to be with you, to be of one household, all over this universe, in the invisible. And some coming forth into the visible as your new household, your new family, as some of the old move out. Remember, no old wineskins and no old garments. Behold, I make all things new. That is the narrow way that leads to the fullness of being. And not the broad way that leads to the narrowness of human life. It's a strange way. But not forever. Now we are facing these truths rather than being wrenched from the lie. We are facing them voluntarily. And we are learning not to fight error with the weapon of error, but with a sword of truth in consciousness. Please read those chapters. You'll be very grateful that you did. Thanks again. See you soon.